pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As you know, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, Epiphany is about God being made manifest. We need for this to be the case. Because if God did not reveal himself, then we would never know him, and we would never be saved. This is why we have to be careful when we encounter the popular objection to believing in God. Why should I believe in a God that I cannot see? This objection, along with many other objections, is used to keep a safe distance from faith and from entering into a relationship with the living God, especially when it's presupposed that such a faith is unreasonable and unwarranted. Unfortunately, dear Christians, the answers that frequently come from Christians to those who state this objection are often inaccurate. How many Christians with good intentions will answer that objection by saying, "You just need to believe"? What is perpetuated here is the idea of blind faith. Now, it's easy to be confused about these matters. After all, at first glance, it does seem that the Bible supports such an idea. Consider, for example, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Well, there you have it. Faith is a conviction of things not seen. Case closed. Christians must therefore advocate blind faith. Not so fast. There is a biblical context and backdrop for these words. To put it simply, if God suddenly appeared in all of his glory in front of you and me right here and right now, we would all be in a lot of trouble. As sinful human beings, we would be absolutely overwhelmed. No one can see the full glory of God and survive. That's why, even to Moses, God said, "Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." The ancient church father Tertullian commented on this state of affairs. He wrote, "It is not permitted us to contemplate the sun in the full amount of its substance which is in the heavens, but we can only endure with our eyes a ray." It is in this respect that the Bible records God speaking these words in Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, the word of God. "But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live," unquote. This is why we sometimes explain the situation in terms of God hiding himself. He hides himself, not in the sense that he is undetectable, but in the sense that we do not and cannot see his full glory. This is indeed an important biblical teaching. Listen to the words of Isaiah the prophet, and if you're following with me on page 12 of our bulletin, please read this scripture with me that's bolded from Isaiah 45, 15, because it is very, very plain and very clear. Let's read together Isaiah 45, 15. "Truly you are a God who hides himself, O God of Israel, the Savior." Again, thank God that he does. Because if he appeared in his full glory, we would be overwhelmed by the light and the majesty of his presence, and we would die. So it's important to explain the situation. Yes, there is a sense in which God is not seen, but there is also a sense in which God is very much seen. During the season of Epiphany, we believe, teach, and confess the ways in which God is seen. So make no mistake about it. People can see God. But it's also part and parcel of the church's ministry to proclaim in what way God has chosen to reveal himself and be seen. He is not seen according to our whims. He is not seen in the way that you and I might try to manipulate the situation with our ego and pride. But he is seen in the way that he is ordained to be seen. And if you and I are foolish enough to reject his ways to be seen, that is, if we refuse to live in faith that trusts in his word, then we will not see him. And this world will seem very, very lonely indeed. But on the other hand, when we are led to see God as he wills to be seen in faith, then the floodgates open. Then God will be seen in many ways. Thanks be to God. God the Father, according to sacred scripture, is very much seen through his creation and through our very consciences, which he also created. Romans chapter 1, 19 through 20 is perhaps one of the most exciting verses in scripture in this regard. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Unquote. God the Son, according to sacred scripture, was seen when in him God took on human flesh and walked upon the earth. It is absolutely mind-boggling, and yet the occasion for the greatest thanksgiving, that when those first century disciples looked into the face and the eyes of this man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, they were looking into the face and the eyes of God, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. In John 14, 8-9, Philip said to Jesus Christ, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus replied to him by saying, "Philip, have I been with you so long that you do not yet know? When you see me, you see the Father. So how can you ask, 'Show us the Father'?" But dear Christians, our great God is so gracious. He is so compassionate. He knows us so much better than we know ourselves. He knows that we still have doubts, even with these great revelations I have reviewed. Remember Luke 16 on the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man died and was in torment in Hades. There he begs Abraham to warn the rich man's living brothers so as to keep them out of Hades. Do you remember the reply from Abraham? He said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And then he said, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone is raised from the dead." God knew that for our sake, for our salvation, he still needed to manifest himself to us. As a great wonder as the creation is, as miraculous as the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ truly is, we still need a manifestation today. The manifestation of the Father and of the Son is therefore served and complemented by the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And for this manifestation, for this way for the world to see God, God not only uses the magnificent grandeur of seas and mountains, of waterfalls and breathtaking valleys. Not only does he use the historic fact that Jesus walked on the earth and then went to that cross to die for us, leading to the empty tomb, all of this occurring in real history, but God also uses something else. God, the Holy Spirit, makes God seen and heard and felt all here and now in and through you. The Holy Spirit, God himself, is made manifest in and through you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says this. Let's read it together. It's in the middle of page 14. "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. God has made himself known and seen through his people, so that the God who loved us when he created the heavens and the earth to give us life, so that the God who loved us when he went to the cross to bear our sin and to cover our sins with his holy and precious blood, would also be the God who says, 'Look, I am real. I am here so that I may be seen. I am here through the Word, through Moses and the prophets and the Psalms and the Gospels and the Epistles, through my holy word. I am here through the holy sacrament which you, my people, receive. I am here as I fill you with my love and the gifts of the Holy Spirit who is God, so that others would receive my love and my service through you. You are the people of God. You are the body of Christ. You are the hands and the feet, the eyes and the lips of Christ. God is seen in you. His light shines in you because he has baptized you. He has given you the Holy Spirit and the various manifestations which come from him. It is amazing to consider just how gracious our dear Lord was that he has chosen to be, that we would be called the children of God. It is absolutely astounding. We know we are poor sinners, and yet the Lord has chosen to live and work in and through you. Make no mistake about it, people will continue to state intellectual objections and stubborn emotional positions against the existence of God. People will continue to resist the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when Christians like you believe the truth that God also is made manifest in his people, then you too, by the word of Christ, will be God's manifestation. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Yes, a Christian is still a sinner, but a Christian is also someone born again by water and the Spirit. You are now someone made new who defies the way of the world which lives for itself. People hate, but in Christ you love. People shun, but in Christ you embrace. People begrudge, but in Christ you forgive. People live in a lie, but in Christ and by the Holy Spirit you live in truth. People run from God, but by the Holy Spirit, for no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You run towards Jesus every single day to remain in his mercy and grace. Do you do this perfectly? Of course not. But you have a new life. Because you're such a good person? Of course not. But on account of the fact that the Holy Spirit has been given to you, so therefore Christ has been given to you. And those with Christ are unable to just sit around, because Christ is also our sanctification. In Christ, whether you have received the manifestation of God in respect to wisdom or knowledge, faith, healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, the ability to distinguish between spirits, the ability to speak in other languages, the ability to interpret other languages, whatever your manifestation of the Spirit may be, God himself hides in and through you. Don't let this be an academic lesson or a mere theory or idea. Humble yourself by the grace of God in Christ and marvel and wonder to this truth. God makes himself known in and through you. There is an epiphany going on. God is appearing in your life. Live it up. Live in love. Be glad not to operate the way of the world that's only concerned with itself. Rejoice that your old self has been crucified with Christ. Rejoice that in your baptismal grace you are raised up as God's new creation. Rejoice that you already live in the kingdom of God in your midst and in your life. Rejoice that the Holy Spirit is indeed active in you, giving you the word to keep you in Christ, and working through you the manifestation of God through his gifts, so that the world would say, yes, I have seen God through one of his very own. He touched me through one of his children. He loved me through one of his disciples. He helped me through one who worships Jesus. Is there any greater honor or blessing than this? God is made manifest in and through you. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. We stand for prayer.